Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Another beautiful Shabbat. Praise the Lord. Lift his glory. Recognize the glory that shines from him. The one major issue which puzzles me greatly is how believers express their reliance on Adonai Elohim and then go about their lives doing things their way and not God's. Invariably, when asked why and how they got themselves into some form of mess, their response is, I don't know. I thought I was following God's plan. Case in point, a pastor of a medium-sized congregation in the United States preached to his flock the coming of Messiah in December 2012. He was so convinced, many of his congregation sold their belongings, including their homes, and settled themselves into a secure, isolated area in Nevada, waiting for the inevitable destruction of the earth. They waited until the end of December 2012 and finally realized the full cost of their decision to follow the plans of their pastor. Now, this would have been somewhat humorous, except that the newspapers of the time recorded a few of these followers committed suicide when they realized how foolish they had been. Abba, our great and beloved Abba, we often claim that we are following your way and your plan, when in reality it is our desires that take hold of us, our desires that lead us forward. Abba, it is really difficult at times for us to distinguish between what is your plan and what is our plan. For this, we need discernment. For this, we need patience. For this, we need calm and peace. So, Abba, I pray that you open our hearts today and help us understand how we can hear and know your plan that we want to follow for our lives. Your beloved name. Reading this week's parashah, I wonder how Moshe ever put up with his people. There was so much complaining as they made their way across the wilderness, and nothing God or Moshe did seemed to please either the Israelites or the mixed multitude. Final straw, it seems, brought their rebellion to a new low, or a new high, depending on you. When they demanded and received permission to send spies into Canaan prior to crossing Jordan. We know what happened. Spies. No wonder Adonai Elohim called the Israelites a hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Listen to his decision to deal with them when they were about to stone Moses, Aharon, Joshua. How much longer is this people going to treat me with? How much longer will they not trust me? Especially considering all the signs I have performed among them. I am going to strike them with sickness, destroy them, and make from you a nation greater and stronger than they. Only Moshe's intervention saved them from Nile. And then what did they do? Ignoring Adonai's command to carry on into the wilderness and not across the Jordan River, an army of Israelites and the mixed multitude again defied God and attempted to make things right by invading the land they would eventually conquer. What were they thinking? Like most of us who follow our own plans, I suspect they believed they could show the ruler of the universe how they could reverse the sin they committed by committing another. Sin compounding sin. Isn't that a typical human? Why is it we often fear following Adonai's plan for our lives? One possible explanation is the direction our civilization has been heading for the past 50 years. We have become a people who are so used to instant gratification, that is, getting things we want when we want them, we have lost the ability to wait for God's plan to unfold. The impatience or intolerance for waiting leads us to trusting our own ways of doing things rather than God. When did we lose the understanding that God doesn't jump to our time? Unfortunately, as a result of the push in the 80s and early 90s for parents to be friends with their children, many families developed a very interesting dynamic. We are seeing the results of that skewed family configuration today, where many of the family decisions are made by the children based on their wants rather than on family needs. The dangerous aspect of this push for children's rights emerges quite clearly as we are witnessing parents today who are afraid to discipline their children. Most of this fear is not physical, although some form of that exists. The vast amount of fear is emotional, wherein mothers and fathers are afraid to appropriately discipline their children for fear they will stop loving them, stop being, leading to the devastating. Thus, many parents have abandoned their role as parents, putting aside Adonai's call for the roles for their roles as leaders, and allowing the enemy to work through their children. How sad! How devastating this is for our society. The impact of parents abrogating their responsibility is and will be several generations of adults who will be unable to meet the challenges, struggles put before them by Adonai in order to build resilience, stamina, and emotional. In other words, we will see many generations of either insecure, fragile, and vulnerable victims, or generations of physical, emotional, or psychological bullies. Today's Facebook generation is adequate testament to both of them. It is important to realize God's word to us in Exodus 34, causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, even by the third and fourth. Well-based sociological research has shown the behaviors of parents, if not checked, will create cycles of similar behaviors within their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Only when children consciously break the cycle of dysfunctional behavior will the curse lift. It is sad. Many parents have not accepted Adonai's plan for parenthood found in Proverbs. For example, in Proverbs 13 we read, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren." The inheritance by a good man for his children, hence his grandchildren, is not wealth as the world knows it, but strong character, rich in integrity, resilience, emotional stamina, the knowledge of Adonai's word in their heart. Proverbs 22 contains an often misunderstood message. Reading this piece of wisdom at the literal level, we find, Train a child to be in the way he should go, and even when old, he will not swerve from it. On the surface, this passage is often written as, train a child to be tzaddik, righteous, and he will remain tzaddik, righteous, all his life. Although, to a great degree, this is the truth, there is another message, a deeper message, which deals with how the child is to be trained and is to be found in the phrase, the way he should go. Adonai Elohim knows about free will and knows what will motivate his children to learn effectively. It was God who created learning and motivation styles, and he also created learning modes. Tapping into these understandings will allow a child to be directed into a way of being righteous, which is not onerous, boring, nor does it lead to evil. Forcing a child to be what Adonai did not make him to be will result in rebellion and rejection. We are seeing the fruit of that. The advice for parents in Proverbs 22 is complemented in Proverbs 13. Listen to this message. He who fails to use a stick hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline. The stick to which this passage is referring is a shepherd's staff. Look at the example on the screen and you will see how this creates a metaphor for parents. The long part of the staff is used to guide the sheep along a path or in a particular direction, while the crook in the staff will turn the sheep from a dangerous path. Parenting is very much like this. Parents are to guide and counsel their children along the right path, path Adonai has chosen. How do we know what that path is? When children respond well to the direction being given by their parents, they are on the right path. If they do not respond well, and parents are sincerely confident they are leading and guiding, not cajoling and coercing them, then they must provide discipline to change the direction their children are going. Here it is vital for parents to be tuned to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who will in turn lead and guide parents on their path. What does not work is bullying or bribing, two extremes often used by frustrated or incompetent. Now, what of the plans of Adam? Proverbs 19 clearly states, one can devise many plans in one's mind, but Adonai's plan will prevail. Adonai Elohim knew from before the beginning of time there was a plan for all of humankind and for each one of us. Clearly, Rav Shaul realized this when he wrote in Ephesians 1, in the Messiah he chose us in love before the creation of the universe to be holy and without defect in his presence. And in 1 Timothy 1, have them stop devoting their attention to myths and never-ending genealogies. These divert people to speculating instead of doing God's work, requires trust. When he chose us in love, Abba had a very clear purpose for all of us. That being to be kadosh, holy, set apart for him to show others what it means to be Adonai's children. And being God's children, we are to keep our focus on him, trusting him to show us in his time what he wishes us to do. God's plans for his children, you and I, are everlasting. This is clearly reinforced in Scripture many times. For example, in Psalm 33 we read, Adonai brings to nothing the plans of nations. He foils the plans of the people. But the counsel of Adonai stands forever. His heart's plans are for all generations. When we have seen the plans of man last as long as Adonai's plans for his people, then we will know that man's plans are superior to God. Rav Shaul has shared with us in Ephesians 1 the first level of God's plan for us. In the Messiah, he chose us in love before the creation of the universe to be holy and without defect. At the surface level, this passage has a clear meaning. No one with a physical or psychological defect may be in the presence of others. However, if we read this only at the literal level, then we would be interpreting very narrow, possibly majority. We, believers in Adonai Yeshua, have been set apart for service. As we are believers, we are no longer sinners, thus without. As we know, sinners may not be in the presence of Adonai. Thus, we believers have been brought into his presence and have been given our marching orders to share our faith through our actions and through our interactions. Everyone we meet, this is our primary call. This is the primary plan for all of us. A friend of mine recently sent the following cartoon. Doesn't this speak volumes of our? In order for me to rely on Adonai's plans for my life, I must trust him. We've spoken of trust many times in Tehillah HaRavim, and yet time and time again, in individual conversations, I only hear of trusting ourselves or other human beings, not God. I'm beginning to think trusting in God is something like waving a flag at a football game. Only when there is a crisis or challenge is trusting God brought out for display. Then, when the challenge is over, flag, that is trust, is put back into the storage locker. Is this really how we want to trust our Supreme King, the lover of our soul? Trust for me is a commodity that develops slowly. However, when I finally realize I am being loved unconditionally, then my trust is given freely, unconditionally. Yohanan the Apostle John spoke of this in his first epistle, chapter 4, when he wrote, "Here is no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love." Research has clearly shown people are unable to trust when they fear and trust cannot coexist. When we experience unconditional love from Adonai Elohim, we are set free to trust unconditionally and never again fear, no matter what the consequences or circumstances. When we rely on our own plan, we are led down an ingenuous path leading to disaster. We read in Proverbs 14, "There can be a way which seems right to a person, but at its end are the ways of death." Frankly, I am baffled with people, mainly by believers, who from pride, arrogance, or whatever reason, prefer to trust themselves than to trust God, even though they profess trust in Him. Their words are contradicted by their actions. This, beloved, is the definition of hypocrisy. Listen once more to Rav Shaul as he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, this same Messiah is God's power and God's wisdom. For God's nonsense is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than humanity. How foolish of human beings to even contemplate our plans are greater. What this does show very clearly is our level of pride. Pride is the killer of faith, trust, love, and grace. I'm firmly convinced many believers are unaware that they are rejecting Adonai's plan, superimposing theirs. Why would this be? Although many would not admit this even to themselves, there is still within our human nature the arrogance of supremacy. We have made decisions all our lives, and nothing, really, for the most part, has gone wrong. It is only until we mess up and one of our choices, small or large, leads us into trouble, do we recognize we should have waited on God. By then, of course, usually. If this happens time and time again, as it does with some professed believers, I wonder why they don't get the message. How far down do they need to go before they let go of their own flawed egos and allow God to lead them? Another fault which impedes our allowing God to lead us is impatience. As I mentioned earlier, we live in an egocentric, instant gratification demanding world. And if something doesn't happen when we want it to happen, then we make it happen. Hang the consequence. There is a tension existing between man's decisiveness, God's unfolding. There are those amongst us who claim unless we make our decisions firmly and quickly, we are not making godly use of the resources he gave us. I must admit this logic is appealing, but it is flawed. To address this issue, let us go to Isaiah chapter 29:2. In these passages, we find a divine strategy for creating plans ruled by God's hand rather than by ours. First, we need to discover his plans. Isaiah 29 leads us to the following understanding. Is the potter not better than the clay? Humility before Adonai is crucial when seeking his plans in our lives. If we demand his plans when we want them, we are anything but humble. We must come before him in the appearance of a servant, in submission and humility, for he will share anything with us. Happy are those who wait for him. Once he has shared a plan with us, we must accept it. This advice comes to us from Isaiah 30. Adonai is just waiting to show you favor. He will have pity on you from on high. With your ears, you will hear a word from behind you. This is the way. Stay on it. Whether you go right or left, then you will treat as unclean silver-covered idol. Often his desires come to us in small voices, Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, which for the undiscerning are indistinguishable from all the other voices rattling around in our heads. If we have not earnestly been still, how will we ever recognize? Praise, then you will treat as unclean your silver-covered idol, refers to our plans and our desires, which when hearing his, we will abandon. In embedded within Isaiah 31, the understanding we must see through the garbage thrown at us, designed by the enemy to draw us away from seeing his plan. What form might this garbage take? Let's look at verses 49. As a lion or lion cub growls at his prey, isn't frightened away by the shout of hordes of shepherds called out against him, their voices do not upset him. Upon hearing God's plans for our lives, we must ignore all those who criticize us or find us foolish or who believe we are putting ourselves. Chantal and I faced all of that when we decided to heed his call, our lives. This requires trust. He is the best one to make decisions for our lives. There is a resolve standing firm in his decision, which comes from him and will bolster us when facing opposition, those who do not. Beloved, we must avoid the temptation to rush and create our own plan. Instead of waiting for Adonai Elohim Tzvaot, ruler of the universe, lover of our set. We must be still, waiting patiently for his call, which will come in his time, not ours. The prophet Samuel waited 13 years, several years after Adonai first spoke to him. Adonai Yeshua waited 30 years before he began ministry. Are we too proud to wait for his call, even though it may not come? Desire it to come. If you have an important decision to make, pray to the one who will guide you securely. Pray authentically, with depth of heart, and wait patiently for him to answer. And he will answer. However, he may test you and test your faith, your trust, and wait until the last second for providing you with direction. You have that degree of strength. Are you that degree? Corey, I know I haven't spoken to you. What you have recently is an incredible testament waiting for his not. Would you be willing to share that?
Well, it all started by Jordan and I needing to move out of our house. Our house was very small. Our house is 800 square feet. And can you hear me now? Okay. Well, our house was very small, so we needed to move. We had our two boys, and we all shared one bedroom. So we had to move, and we tried to find a house in the city. We couldn't find one. It was the prices were too high, and we were outbidded every time. So we left it in Yah's hands, and then we went to what was it? One of the fall feasts last year, and we met some people that were from Winnipeg Osis, and we started talking and. We kind of joked about moving out there, and we started to look at places out there, and we found a house, and we decided to jump on it because we felt God was leading us into that direction. And so we took a step of faith, and everything just seemed to fall in place, no problem. And I had no work lined up, and we said, no, if it's in Yah's plan, then everything will come into place. And when we moved out there, we, like right now, we're just renting. And our bank told us that I had to have a job a month before our possession date. And when we got out there, I was out there, it was So I needed a job by June 1st. I needed a job. And I couldn't find a job, I sat at home for about a month and a half, just waiting. And there was absolutely no worry because we felt Yah had had his plan. And not sooner than a week before June, I had a job. And everything just fell into place. So praise Yah for that.
Praise be. Abba Father, we pray for your strength. We pray for your resolve. We pray that we will develop humility through the experiences that you give to us. And we pray that you will provide us with patience, although knowing that you will put us into positions where we will need to develop. But most of all, Abba, put into our hearts peace, comfort, and wait on you as we wait for your plan one day. And help us not to jump from your path, follow our own will, follow the plans that we believe. You are the one who supports us. Help us, please. Follow your path and rely on your plan.